a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome on in. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us on another evening, and thanks for being a part of the program. You can download the KSL Sports app right now. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast version of the show, which is, of course, just this version of the show. Scott Mitchell, how are you this evening?
I am fantastic, Alex. How are you?
I'm awesome. We've got a lot to get through.
You are awesome.
So much BYU stuff to get through, which I know is what you were looking forward to start the show off.
It's what woke me up this morning.
It's the only game in town, so that's what we're going to start with. It's a 7:05 cut right here.
At 7:05, the unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Five games through the BYU season. And if you're one of those positive thinking Cougar fans, Scott, you might say to yourself, well, these are midseason awards. But the really aggressive, positive BYU thinker says, oh, no, we're not there yet. Because they think that more games are going to be added. KSL 5's and BYU TV's Dave McCann is going to join us in just a little bit. And I know that certainly a lot of folks still feel like BYU is going to add a game here or there, particularly for the 28th of November. That's the possibility. But that being said, we're about halfway through the season. If you would have told me before the year started that BYU would be 5-0, even after the coronavirus stuff had hit and they were cobbling together a schedule, I would have said, nah, probably not. There'd be a loss in there somewhere. But the reality has been a really, really good thing for BYU, Scott, and that is this. BYU has long been called quarterback U. But when has it actually meant something? When was the last time that actually meant something?
It used to mean a lot.
It did. I'm saying it did mean something. And when was it that it actually did mean not just talking about the guys whose names are on Lavelle Edwards Stadium? When did it mean not just talking about maybe even Max Hall from 11 years ago? The thing about BYU fans is they love being called quarterback U. It's been a little bit embarrassing because you haven't really had that quarterback, though. To be called quarterback
but I don't know that it's the quarterback as much as it's been the coach.
Interesting.
When you have a defensive-minded coach, typically it's kind of hard to have quarterback U. It just is.
But I'll tell you, BYU
Bronco fan, Mendenhall era was not favorable
it
to
– It was a defensive time,
yes,
right?
Quarterback U.
But that's what I want to know.
But you have those great players. I mean, you have Kyle Van Noy. You have some of those other, you know, Ziggy Ansah. Yeah. Some of the other players. Fred Warner was really, he's really a Kalani, or not a Kalani, but he's a Bronco guy, and that's what he was great for. So that's if you're going to have great players in that situation, that's what you're going to be known for.
Yeah, but nobody,
and who wants to be known for great defensive
that's
players?
What I'm
Come
saying.
On,
you don't want to be called linebacker. You don't want to be called.
That's Penn State.
Edge rusher U or any of that. This is what BYU wants. And more importantly, BYU fan wants it to mean something. And it does when we start to look at some of the things that have happened over this year. Offensive MVP for BYU. Unless you disagree with me, Scott, I think everybody would agree that Zach Wilson is that MVP on the offensive side of things.
Before you get into these midseason awards, yes. I really think there's someone you've got to give an award to.
Who
and
is?
I don't know how you do it, but it's worth mentioning. I've mentioned it on our show before, but it is a tremendous feat, and that's Tom Homo, and the fact that he's been able to lose a schedule, just kind of be obliterated, and then gain a schedule, and then gain a respectable schedule during the season, you know, adding San Diego State and adding Boise State.
They're talking about adding more games again.
Really, at this point, it's a home run by Tom Homo, because in a time when, you know, this pandemic has shut so much down and just created all of this doubt and lack of season. I mean, the Big 12 and the Big 10, the Pac-12 haven't even played yet. And here we are with midseason awards for BYU. It's truly remarkable what the athletic department and Tom Homo did.
You know what's interesting, too, is that with the parameters.
Can we give him a gold star? Just put it on his forehead? I'll lick the gold star, boom, and put it right on his forehead.
Next time I see him, like if I see him on the elevator, because I've seen him at the stadium, obviously, for these games, he's masked up. Maybe I'll just hand him like a hand sanitized little gold medal, and I'll say, "This is from Scott Mitchell. He says you're doing a great job." Just whisper it to him. Just kind of slip it in his pocket. I think it's interesting too. What's interesting about this is that BYU has become even more. This is during all of this. You can't do this during normal years either. Tom Holmoe's going, look, we got to get more attention here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to add a couple more games. When could you have done that ever in the history of college football? Your schedule was what it was years ago. But now you go, you know what? I bet if we added an 11th game on November 28th, come what may, if we can have an 11th game on November 28th, and then you've got a Pac-12 team that might be 7-0, maybe, and then you've got an 11-0 BYU team, they might be able to have that argument then, having four extra games that they've played and being undefeated. They want to be able to be in that discussion, and this is the power of being able to, during COVID, have some flexibility. So offensive MVP, I think that everybody agrees that Zach Wilson, that first play on offense last weekend when they were playing Houston, I looked in and went, oh, he's going to throw it short, and he did not.
Second shotgun. Pulls it away from Algier. Settles in a clean pocket. Now hit as he throws. Deep down the near side to Dax. Mill makes the catch. He's going to go! 40, 30, 20, 10, and just like that, BYU on top.
Greg sounded a little overmodulated there. I don't know what's going on.
Wow, he was very calm.
This is the season of overmodulation. Do you have any objections to Zach Wilson being the far and away offensive MVP?
I mean, it's a boring pick because it's so obvious, but it's remarkable how Zach Wilson has taken such a tremendous step from a year ago to right now.
Defensive MVP. He was missing out of last – this is my vote, but he was missing off of last week's win over Houston. And it was interesting because as you start to talk about this guy, it became a problem because BYU decided to go between a 3- and 4-man front a couple of times in the year. And this year they went – or this last week they went back to that 3-man front. But it's much, much different without Kyrus Tonga. This is a guy who every game that he plays, every team he plays against, has to double-team him. Has to. And when last week that was not the case, they didn't have to double team the backup nose guard. They were really able to handle BYU on that front. And so his missing last week really made it apparent. This is a guy who is NFL level talent, and he could have gone to the draft this last year, but he didn't. Instead, he said, I'm going to come back. And Kyrus Tonga, and maybe it's because he's a big chubby guy, and so I can relate, he's my MVP on defense for the Cougs.
Yeah, he's having a good year, and he's getting better. I think it was good for him to come back. He still plays a little bit high, and he still gets moved off the line of scrimmage, you know, every once in a while. Not that I'm, being that
picky
about it.
Not that you've watched too much film on him. But
no, but I'm going to go with a different guy.
Where are you going to go with here?
I'm going to go with Isaiah Kafusi.
Oh. I wish he was more healthy more often. I mean, that's been kind of the thing, is that we've seen it kind of hit and miss with him. But he's definitely that leader on defense, and he flies around quite a bit. So I could have gone either way on that one. Isaiah Kafusi's the guy.
Could we have co-defensive MVPs at
no.
this point?
Oh. You know what? It's not allowed. Our budget doesn't allow it.
This is our program. Can't we do whatever it. We want. Can't look, I'm giving gold stars to Tom Homo. We can give.
Scott, what was your best moment so far of the year for BYU?
Do you know what I think the best moment for BYU? I really think it's the first win against Navy.
That was such a surprise.
I really do. I think it was a big. It was the biggest moment in the sense that it really got the discussion going quickly for BYU on a national stage. BYU looks so. They look so good. Most teams when they come out their first game of the season, it takes a week or two. You just don't look that polished, and they looked like they were in mid-season form. They looked like they were having fun.
Well,
Zach Wilson, the whole entire team looked really good.
Nobody was playing all year, or nobody had played yet. So BYU was the biggest game so far, and Navy, that was the biggest matchup that they had seen. So they have Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler calling the game. And Kirk Herbstreit, by the end of the game, is going, this team's legit. They're a real contender. I mean, you could probably see them in that conversation for college football playoff. And that's when everybody lost their minds. So it happened in that first game and being visible. I'm going to go with that second half of that Houston game. Massive moment for them to be able to put up 29 points in a row on their biggest opponent so far. It was a massive turnaround. You convinced me that shifting the momentum doesn't happen often, and to be able to do it as that young kid was awesome. We'll come right back, and we're going to have our host co-anchor of KSL 5 Television's news at 10 o'clock, Dave McCann, also BYU TV. He's going to break down a little. We have an extra category on there, and we're going to kind of run by him some of these things as well. But also we're going to talk about grading the offense and grading the defense so far through this season. Halfway through for BYU, we got more to talk about. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.